The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Pillsbury Crescent Dinner Rolls in your grocer's refrigerated section. Make an easy wow for dinner tonight in just 11 minutes with fresh-baked Pillsbury Crescents for dinner. Home is calling. And by the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your Sleep Number. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Winter has moved in. It was one of those spooky, spooky weeks in winter where it's foggy and there's mist in the air and the full moon is out shining through it and the sound of wings up in the air. Those are the tundra swans who are migrating from their homes above the Arctic Circle down to their winter home on the Carolina coast. And you hear those wings in the air and that full moon, and you have a feeling that you're in a play of some sort where mysterious secrets are about to be discovered in the course of the next hour. And these are not your people. You were adopted. You don't belong to these people. You're descended from other people, and you were not meant to be a farmer. You were meant to be a dancer. And even though you are 55 and a little heavy set, you know, you still is a chance for you. Have these feelings on these nights. And I don't know if it was because of the full moon or the mist in the air or the sound of the wings of swans, big 7-foot wingspans pumping, beating overhead at night. But it was an amazing week in Lake Wobegon, and maybe it was because of the Obama election, but all sorts of surprising things happened. Surprising things. Art of Arts Bates and Night Arrest Motel found a woman on the internet. This is a man who's a member of the Sons of Liberty. He goes around with a gun. He's got an ammo vest on him. This is a man who believes that government agents are trying to get into his home, people who read the meters for the gas company. They work for the government. They're trying to put listening devices into his cabins of the motel. He's got signs up all over the place. Government agents, stay away. This patriot will defend his own home. He found Bernice on the internet, and now he's talking about putting up shades, and he's not wearing camo anymore. How will this develop? We're not sure, but this is an amazing development in my little town. Ordinarily, we don't go in for change. We're afraid of change, but here it is. Cliff at the Mercantile, no longer using hairspray to put up his hair, his white hair, into a sort of a birdcage around his pink scalp. It's just combed across, a comb over now. He's talking about getting out of dry goods, getting into antiques. We never thought this would ever happen. Arlene Bunsen said to Clarence the other day, I don't want to do Christmas this year. She is the queen of Christmas. People come and worship at her dining room table, not do Christmas. How can you say that? Oh, he thinks of Christmas Eve's and the Christmas bird brought out and the candles flickering and all of the children, tears running down their eyes as they sing, De kim anu for Yule fest, De kim anu for hoy a guest, some stay to leave a new toast, frel for new toast, give a frel, though frel. They sing in their ruined Norwegian or whatever it is. Tears come to their... No, she said, I don't want to do Christmas this year. I want to eat roast pork. I want somebody else to make it. I want to eat it with my fingers. I want to be sitting out on the beach by the ocean. I want to eat it with pineapple and mangoes. I want to eat it with my fingers, and then I want to wade out into the water with my skirt on and have it get wet the way Angie Dickinson did in that movie, whatever that movie is, the one where the men are coming in the canoes. That's what I want, is roast pork for Christmas. Clarence said, but what about the children? She said, what about the children? Eventually, the mother lion has to bare her teeth to her young. Evidently, the mother pig someday has to snap at her children and run them off. Otherwise, she will have these 100-pounders sucking on her. And Clarence couldn't believe it. No Christmas to go to a resort for Christmas. He walked out into the streets. It was dark. He was walking around town with tears in his eyes. Here came Mr. Berkey. Mr. Berkey's never out on the streets. At night, he's always in the sidetrack tab, camped at the third stool from the end. And he's drinking double bourbons, and Wally makes a powerful bourbon double. It's big enough to put down a racehorse. And he's sitting there, and he's on his third double bourbon, and he's talking about his sainted mother and his no-good father. But now, for the last week, Mr. Berkey's gone in, and he's asked for orange juice. Orange juice. He's been drinking orange juice. Top of the evening, he said to Clarence. How are you? Well, amazing to see the man sober in the evening. Now who is going to compete for the title of town drunk? Well, there are contestants for sure. But how did this ever come about? We are suspicious of change in our town. Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach sitting in the Chatterbox Cafe and eating the grilled cheese sandwich and the chili, and they got into an argument. We have heard this argument for the last 40 or 50 years, if you are old enough. And she says to him, I wish we would go someplace this winter. Why don't we ever go any place? And then he is supposed to say, not go any place. Why, we went to South Dakota just last year. And then she is supposed to say, South Dakota, you call that a vacation? And then he is supposed to say, there's no pleasing you. I've been trying for 50-some years, and I'm no closer now than I was when I started out. She said, I just wish you weren't so stingy that you'd spend a little money on a good time. He said, what is the sense in spending money to go be miserable someplace else when we could be miserable right at home for free? This is a litany. This is a dialogue. We've heard these lines. But she said, I wish we could go someplace for a vacation. He said, good, let's go to California. She looked at him. It was the wrong line. Oh, you don't mean that. She said, oh, I do. He said, I do. Let's go. Let's go next week. How long do you want to stay? Just threw him off. Threw her off. She was just confused for the rest of the evening. She just sat there stunned, as if somebody hit her over the head with a 2x6. Change. We don't know what to do with it in Lake Wobegon, because usually it turns out for the worst. Men come in suits to town, and they come to the town council meeting, and they distribute this report, and it's made up in a fancy way, and immediately we are suspicious. It is like that group of men who came, and they were going to have a caribou feedlot, and they were going to buy 3,000 acres, and they were going to raise caribou for a new chain of drive-ins called Boo Burgers, and they were going to 3,000 acres, and they're going to put 20,000 caribou on it, and the poop would be collected in a pond of 500 acres, and they had this all planned out. And Carl and Clarence and Clint had to go out to see Mr. Hoppy, who had the key property. It was right in the middle of the 3,000 acres, and they had to ply him with some bourbon and just get him dazed, but, you know, still ambulatory, and talk to him about this. And then they said, come out here. And out back he went, and here's this old Norwegian bachelor farmer who'd been courted by these men in suits with visions of a kingdom of Norwegian bachelor farmers in Idaho. They were going to give them hundreds and hundreds of acres of wooded mountain and mountain fastness. And he came out his back door, and here Clint and Carl and Clarence had an Airstream trailer. His dream, a 20-foot-long Airstream trailer with a kitchenette and a fridge in it and a crapper in it and a double bed in it. His dream. Now he could live in comfort and leave the house to the dogs. The dogs already owned the house. Let them have it. And so by that means, this plan for the future was narrowly averted, and they guided his fingers as he signed the deed and signed over his land to the Lake Wobegon Land Trust. Then he could live on it for the rest of his life, and then it would revert to them. That was a narrow thing. Change. Science tells us it's usually not for the better, and our hearts tell us the same thing as well. But some things stay the same. deer hunting season. It was this week, started last weekend, so attendance was thin at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church on Sunday. Platoons of hunters out to fight the overpopulation of the white-tailed deer in Minnesota, which is threatening our way of life. We will be living with deer if we don't do something about this. So out they go to try to fend them off. Otherwise, they'll be living in our basements and our garages. They'll be in the back seat of your car when you go to leave the theater tonight. So the big gaps in the pews in Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. And so when Val Tollefson fell asleep during the sermon, which he always does, there were seats empty next to him in the pew where his daughter-in-law usually sits, but her husband, Bob Tollefson, was off hunting with his buddies, so she had moved over a couple seats, and we could see Val Tollefson's neck sort of jerk a couple of times, those nap jerks that you know so well, and then we heard steady, deep breathing, and then he just fell over. This was during the sermon on the parable of the wedding, which is about, you know, staying awake and being alert, and he just wham, he fell down. And we heard him say, "God damn it." And then he sat up and he said, sorry, he said. Shook hands with Pastor Enquist after the service and apologized for his bad language. And Pastor Enquist said, "Oh, what the hell," he said. "I don't know. Doesn't matter. They were off hunting. This great ritual of the hunt. Men going into the woods with rifles. And when you get out into the woods, it could be the 1870s. It could be 1956. It could be any time at all. It's timeless. You are doing honor to your ancestors when you go hunting, because that's who you get this from. This is handed down from father to son. You don't pick this up on your own by reading a book or watching a movie. If your dad was a hunter, then you can be a hunter. If your dad was not, then you won't be, unless you have very good friends. But it's something you should learn as a child, passed on to the boys. Or a woman. There was a woman who was hunting deer in Lake Wobegon. This was a few years ago. She came to teach geography at the high school. Her name was Holly. She was a tall, long-legged woman. She was all business. She was quite a woman, but they had no idea she was a hunter until deer hunting season started, and there she was in her blaze orange vest and her rifle. People had never seen this before. Of course, deer hunting season is the mating season for the male deer, so people thought in some way she might have an advantage. And in fact, there were three bucks who were following her so close that she could not really shoot at them. It took her a long time to maneuver to get away from them so that she could double back and shoot them in a sportsmanlike way. She shot one, of course, and they heard the shot go off, the men in the woods, and they came to try to help her. She needed help to clean out this deer and dress out the deer, and she had already strung it up by its hind legs from a low limb. And as the men walked into the clearing, they saw her lift that hunting knife, and she put it in the deer's rear end, and she pulled it all the way down through his privates and down his belly, and his purplish intestines all fell out. They had never seen a woman do this before. Some of them had to sit down on the grass and put their heads down between their knees. She stayed in town for two more years, and no man ever asked her for a date, ever. She had to go back to California to have a normal life. Well, it's winter. Winter's on us, and that's where we are. That's who we are. We are northern people. Arlene Bunsen hung her sheets out for the last time out on the line. She won't use the dryer until it's just too cold, until they will freeze. She hung them out on the line so they could pick up that smell of autumn, of smoke and apples and horses and something else, something, swans maybe, the smell of the full moon, the smell of mist and fog in the air. Brought them back in, made the bed. It was the most sweetest smelling bed ever. What effect it had on her and Clarence, we don't know for sure. But they were smiling in the morning. They were holding hands. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Pillsbury Crescent Dinner Rolls in your grocer's refrigerated section. Make an easy wow for dinner tonight in just 11 minutes with fresh baked Pillsbury Crescents for dinner. Home is calling.